You're listening to SBS News.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the SBS On The Money podcast for this Wednesday, the 8th of April, 2026. It's a day where the Australian share market surged. The S&P ASX 200 up 2.6%. That's its best day in about a year. $80 billion added to the value of listed companies today. Investors applauding the latest developments in the Middle East after the US and Iran agreed to a two-week ceasefire. 8 out of the 11 sectors rose. IT the best by far. Stocks like WiseTech up 11%, NEXTDC 5. Gold miners did well as the gold price climbed 4% and the airlines recovered. Qantas surging 9.4%, Virgin Australia 12% higher today. That's as the oil price tumbled 16% compared with this time yesterday when the market closed. It's at around $92 a barrel. Unsurprisingly, energy stocks fell as a result. And in currencies, the Australian dollar also got a leg up. Up 2% to 70.7 US cents. For more, I spoke with Kyle Rodder, Senior Financial Market Analyst at Capital.com. Kyle, just how big has the recovery been on the market today and where were all the gains?
Yeah, very significant. A very significant relief rally across Asia, and the ASX 200 has sort of seen a fairly predictable move, which is to say that some of those beaten up sectors on days where things have escalated, in particular material stocks, consumer discretionary stocks, those companies that are sensitive to global economic growth, which is going to take a hit potentially because of this crisis, and then tech stocks most of all sort of outperforming. So it's those kind of, you know, risk on trades that we've gotten used to over the last 6 weeks that have led the market higher. But I mean, really, other than the energy sector, which has plunged because of a lower oil price, it's been a pretty positive day across the board.
So is this the turning point that many investors had been waiting for, or are they getting ahead of themselves?
Could be. There are some signals that, you know, the ceasefire might be fairly tenuous and there's still, you know, fears that maybe this will fall through. But I think the signals that market participants are taking away from this is that obviously a deal was able to be done to start with, that includes a reopening of the Strait of Hormuz, which for market participants was the most critical detail, basically just the energy component of this and normalizing global energy supply as much as possible. The other thing too is it signals, at least between the US and Iranians, a desire to find an off-ramp and a desire to de-escalate. So the fact that is there has set this kind of confidence that maybe we've seen a peak in the crisis, and that even if things don't go back to normal overnight, things will start to normalize and start, and investors can basically price out some of this risk of a protracted war.
What's interesting now is that the market is only down around 2.5% since the start of the war when the ASX 200 was at a record. If investors sold at the trough a couple of weeks ago, they would have missed a 7% upside. What's the message here?
I think the message is knowing how to plan and knowing your strategy going into crises, always having one ready with you at all times to know how you should respond in these sorts of situations. Because, of course, not every investor and not every trader approaches the markets the same way, but you need to sort of know how you do it and how your goals in the long run, you know, may be impacted by a crisis such as this. So, sort of the subtext of your question there, you know, someone who is looking at their super funds and thinking about how this might affect them in 10 years' time, well, historically, it wasn't going to be a big deal. What we've seen is that this may blow over now and all of this volatility will be a thing of the past. Not guaranteed, but it's a possibility. So it's sort of always keeping a framing in mind of what your strategy is, what your plan is as an investor, and seeing constantly how a crisis aligns with what you're trying to achieve in the long run.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.
The other big thing to look at today is that the commodity prices, particularly oil. Oil tumbling from around 111 US at the ASX market close yesterday to around 95 at the time of recording this interview. Run us through the implication of this, because one, I guess assuming it stays at these levels, the effect will still take time to filter through to the economy, right? These lower prices. And two, what about market pricing for interest interest rate rises into the future. Has that changed now as a result as of today?
So there is the sense that this will have a long tail effect on the global economy, that even if we are past the worst of things and that the flow of energy coming out of the Strait of Hormuz starts to normalize, it will take a little while to fill that supply deficit that has built up. And then there's also the fact that more than just the blockage of the Strait, there has been damage to critical infrastructure throughout the Middle East, which means that productive capacity has been taken offline, and that will take time to normalize, meaning that prices will probably go down a lot slower than they came up. And more than likely, if you look at sort of the futures curve, there's the sense that maybe the Brent price might be closer to 75 for the rest of the year, whereas it spent most of last year at 65. And that's going to have inflationary impacts. It'll probably have growth impacts. And when you talk about monetary policy, what we have seen today is markets feeling a lot more confident in the outlook. So measures of policy uncertainty have settled, and that's been something that's put downward pressure on yields, put upward pressure on stocks, added to the case that, you know, maybe there'll be fewer rate hikes from some central banks, at least the RBA, going forward. But still, there will be the inflationary impacts. There's going to be some snarls in supply chains and interesting areas of the economy that you'll discover this has had an impact on, like, you know, fertilizers and plastics and all these different things. So there's going to be these kind of ongoing effects. But overall, there's going to be ripples. There's going to be impacts on interest rates, inflation. It's just hope now that the worst of it is, you know, kind of behind us, or, you know, de-escalating enough.
All right. So with all of this in context and these latest developments, what are you telling your clients right now, and where do you see the opportunities for investors?
So because it's such a short-term story right now, a lot of the conversation I'm having is around how to sort of frame the next few weeks and then beyond, and what to look for potential escalations or where volatility could reemerge. What we want to see is, obviously, if your, you know, interest is in making sure equities go higher, wanting equities to go higher, the ceasefire holds. So we want signals to see that that's strong. If there's the ceasefire and the 2 weeks expires, that a lasting deal is going to be made. And if it falls over, you know, whether we revert to where we were, say, 24 hours ago. And then, almost like we were saying before, that because we haven't really seen signs of earnings expectations being downgraded because of this crisis, and it's more than likely that will be the case, because we haven't seen the full impact in inflation and all the other pressure points that are probably going to be exposed because of this crisis too, understanding that there are going to be ripple effects here for a little while that may affect corporate fundamentals and macroeconomic policy too. So it's all about just understanding that framing and the different kind of inflection points that we could go down. Again, if things de-escalate further or escalate further, and even in the best case scenario, what could, you know, basically happen from here?
That is Kyle Rotter there from Capital.com, and he wraps up this podcast for this Wednesday. If you enjoy it, give it a like and a review wherever you stream this podcast from. And don't forget, you can watch On The Money during the 6:30 weekday edition of SBS World News on SBS. The podcast returns tomorrow. It drops after the market close every weekday, and I'll catch you then.
A new SBS music station is coming.
SBS Pop Europe.
Filled with Eurovision hits non-stop.
You want more? Tune in from the 1st of May.
On DAB Radio, online.
The SBS Audio app.
And SBS On Demand.